I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill. Well, it's a long, long journey to the capital city. It's a long, long wait while I'm sitting in committee. But I know I'll be a law someday. At least I hope and pray that I will. But today I am still just a bill. I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I got as far as Capitol Hill.
You're tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7, and this is Community In-Depth. I'm your host for this segment, Mike Rood, and I have on the phone with me Minnesota State Senator for Senate District 54, Carla Bigham. Senator Bigham, welcome back to the program.
Hey, Mike, thanks for having me.
It's always good to hear from you. There's things going on at the Capitol. We're wrapping up. The session will be done here in just a couple of weeks' time, and the madhouse has begun, I understand. It's been very, very busy.
This upcoming week, I think it's going to be even worse, but, it's important work, and it's an honor and a privilege to do it, and so we'll just fight through it, press on through it, Mike.
All right. Let's start with one of the subjects that you have been a champion of for a long time. And there's movement on this in the House, but the Senate is kind of sitting on it. Talk a little bit about sport wagering.
Oh, yeah. So the House passed a bill with 70 votes the other day, and it gives sports wagering both on-site and mobile to the tribal casinos, and divvies up the money to compulsive gambling and youth programs. And I attempted to do kind of what I would call a compromise version,
right,
in the House when we debated the tax bill, which I think we'll get to later. And it was ruled out of order, but my bill had it both at the tribe or the casinos and the tracks, and allowed for on-site and mobile, and it gave money to 25% for sports and events, which is an organization that does all the bidding on these large-scale events. So think Frozen Four, Final Four, Super Bowl. Believe it or not, there's a nonprofit that organizes all that and submits all the grants and volunteers and all that. And I wanted to give them some money because then we're reusing it to revitalize our economy by getting more of these events.
Right.
And then I did 25% to charitable gambling organizations and 25% to mental health. And so it did not work. They ruled it out of order because apparently it greatly expanded the scope of the bill.
Oh, well.
They might not have been wrong on that, Mike. But, it was worth a try. And more importantly, it was the only time we've been able to talk about it on the floor in a legislative form. So there's still time. We have 10 days. You know, we got one body that's passed it, so it's always still alive then, and you never know when, where, or what'll happen in this last final days of session.
All right, and there was also some provision. I don't know if you've had a chance to read through the House version of it, but I was talking with Representative Juergens in another segment, and he was commenting on the number of licenses that would be available, starting with tribal properties to be able to obtain those. What are the provisions that you would like to see maybe to combine in for the Senate side of that?
Well, the licenses are the same as related to the tribal casino. What's different is that in the Senate, we would want licenses for the tracks.
Okay.
So that's the
yep.
difference. That will be the difference between the two versions. And then they'll either go to the tribunal, which is the governor, speaker, and majority leader.
Right,
or,
right.
So the majority leader is my partner in this, in the Senate. So it's a really high-powered person, right? And so he has some influence and some powers to put this bill where it might just be a little bit more advantageous and easily
sure.
accessible.
Mm-hmm.
And so he could take the bill, put it in his own committee, and then wait for an agreement, slap it on the bill, send her on out to the floor of the Senate. We send it over to the House. They concur. We've got legalized sports wagering. So it literally can happen that quickly. But we've got to get the stakeholders to agree or be neutral. So we're going to just keep working. He is working all weekend on it. I mean, I give him credit. He's
right.
staying in
sure.
contact with me, and he's working hard.
And I know it doesn't really do a whole lot to try to predict the future in either chamber up there at the Capitol, but what's your gut feeling on it for this session?
I have to think it is in the best interest of everybody to get it done this year. We already are, like, we'd be now like 35th state. All of our states around us have it. It takes a year, almost a year, like 9 months. Like, we will not be able to do this for this upcoming football season, which is my favorite sport.
Right,
that's what
sure.
I kind of gauge everything on.
Right.
We probably could get it for March Madness next year. That's about the earliest. If things go really fast and well and quickly, we could maybe get it for the Super Bowl. But I would say March Madness is the fastest. So, like, it's just advantageous for us to get this done quickly. I just feel it's going to happen. I just feel it. I'll be extremely disappointed, Mike, if I come on in a week or so here
right.
and you just hear a bunch of crying, you'll know what happened. But I just really feel it's going to pass. It's in everybody's interest to do it this year and get going on it. It's good revenue for them.
Sure.
The tracks for the state. And by the way, it lifts, you know, the black market into the light. And that's
mm-hmm.
what we need, and we need transparency on them.
That would be good. That would be very good. So we'll give the listeners, or we'll give you a chance to give listeners contact information later so
yeah.
they can keep you, you know, they can make their voice heard through you. What I'd like to
Absolutely.
Move on to at this point, though, is that there is legislation being worked on for a structured settlement. What's the latest on that?
So that's on the way to the governor's desk. I have to say, this week I've had four bills pass and are on the way to the governor, and I'm pretty excited about it. Three bills, four provisions. First one is structured settlement. So that really annoying song, J.G. Wentworth, wants money now.
Yep.
That's a structured settlement. So unfortunately,
right.
what happens is when somebody gets hurt, they need the money now, they can go into an agreement with these companies that will forward the money, pay it ahead. But it's pennies on the dollar.
Right.
And they get screwed out of their settlement.
Right.
And it's just horrendous. And there's people that actually preyed on vulnerable adults. And sometimes because of the result of an accident, maybe there's a TBI. It just puts a horrible situation in flux.
Right.
And so what we basically did, I'll summarize it very quickly. The judges now get to make the decision. And the companies that front this money now pay for that, which is good. So a judge is going to have to kind of sign off on things that fall in, on these settlements that fall into certain criteria. And one of the most egregious ones, I think, are when children were taken advantage of. And so we make sure that doesn't happen. The automatic, you know, judicial review. So it really was a huge group of people that worked really well together, bipartisan, bicameral. Just, this is how it's supposed to work, Mike.
Okay.
And we just, one of the best laws in the country that will put protections in place for these structured settlements. And so very excited that the governor will be signing that.
That's good. Yeah, because you talk about these things, and these annuities or structured settlements last for a
yep.
number of years. 20 is a very common number for some of those.
Yep.
And these companies will dangle a carrot in front of you, said, well, we can get you your money now, but they don't do that for free. You know, so they do take a portion of that. Yeah.
And the Star Tribune did a wonderful expose on it last year before we started session last summer. And just heartbreaking, Mike. And so glad we're able to handle that and put those protections in place for Minnesotans.
That would be good. And you said that one's already on the way to the governor's desk?
Yep, on the way to the governor's desk.
That's good. Another thing that is near and dear to a lot of people's hearts in today's world is data privacy. And
yes.
there is information you have on that for us. What's going on there?
So I am on the Data Practices Commission, and one of the things we sought to address was student data privacy. And what I mean by that is, you know, a lot of these tablets, iPads, they have apps. Some are administrative purposes, some are educational purposes, but that data is retained.
Right.
And sometimes disseminated by these software companies, and that's wrong.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we say is we say that those companies know you cannot do that to students' data. And they were surveilling them, you know, while they weren't at school, not doing work, you know, school work. And people were getting solicited. Kids were getting solicited for different products, and you know,
sure,
like
sure.
If your kid was doing yoga, they were getting solicited for yoga clothes. And anyway, it's just bad.
That's what cookies are all about.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we prohibited that. And again, we worked with the ACLU. Probably one of the most conservative members of the Senate and myself worked together on this, and it's really exciting. We have one of the strongest laws now in America on this, and we're very proud of it. Long overdue, and we got to keep working on these data practices laws to make sure they're keeping up with technology, because we know they are not. So we've really got a lot of work to do.
Well, and because technology is advancing at such a rapid rate, it's really hard to gauge, you know, where the field will go from any certain point. You might put something in, codifying something for what's going on today that will be completely obsolete, say, within 6 months, because they're doing it completely differently. So kudos to...
Well, we started deleting... fax mill, you know, fax machines, you know, out of statutes, the language out of statutes, because we don't use them anymore.
Right.
And so, like, I mean, it's so sad that we can't keep up with these, but we have to. We ought to have a better practice in place, but some other day for that.
Yep, and that's, you just keep an eye on it and do what you have to do to keep as current as you can with the issues that you're facing. Another thing that is coming up or that you have information on for us is a pension bill, and I'd like to get an update for that if I could, please.
Absolutely. This is another bill that is on its way to the governor's office. We've spoke about this on your program before, but I have two provisions. One, removing the penalty that teachers that have retired are under pension if they come back into teaching for 3 years.
Right.
So they won't be subject to that penalty if they come back and teach for 3 years. And so that's in the bill. That's on the way to the governor. And then the other one is a vesting schedule for volunteer fire departments or paid-on-call fire departments when they're in these savings plans for the fire departments, and they move to the state plan. Relief associations. So
right. Mm-hmm.
These relief associations, if they transfer to the state pension plan, they can choose their vesting schedule, and they're not penalized. And we're hoping that that will help entice departments to move from the relief association plan to the state plan, but also help retain and recruit firefighters.
All right. So, and each relief plan, firefighter relief fund plan, is managed by each department. Is the what they're moving, what you're hoping they move to, is that more of a centrally regulated or overseen process?
Actually, more of them are now on the state plan and the state pension and para.
Right.
And so the state pension plan. Yep. So they were there's still some that are out there on the local relief association plans, which are managed by each local department. So we're trying to, yes, incentivize them to come to the state plan because, you know, a lot of these firefighters, they're young men and women that have families. It's a lot of training to be a firefighter. And then to add this on top of it, on top of your work, family, and the fire schedule that you're under, it's just a lot. And it's cumbersome to manage these and expensive. And so going to the state plan is way more efficient and effective. We just want to make it worth their time and money.
So, okay.
This is going to hopefully be helpful to them.
That would be a good thing. And I would think, too, then, if you have a larger group of individuals under that one umbrella plan, it gives them a little bit better of a bargaining position for things down the road as far as making sure they get the best return on investment for their retirement.
Absolutely. Yep, absolutely.
All right. We have just a couple of minutes left, and at this point, you do have some information on a tax bill that's being crafted or in the process, let's say it that way. And you don't have a whole lot of information on that, I understand, but I would like to hear what you do have.
Yeah, so we all know, according to the Constitution, the tax bills have to start in the House, but the Senate has voted now a second time on a tax bill, and I supported it. It has the full repeal of Social Security taxes on it for our seniors. It's a middle-class tax cut. The homestead credit is expanded, which is really great for middle-class families, and some other property tax credits in there. So, you know, we're kind of in a holding pattern until the House sends a bill over, because it has to come from the House. So
right.
We'll merge those two bills. There'll be a conference committee, or else, again, the tribunal will have to step in and deal with it.
But you're kind of basically the Senate's just like, all right, we're ready. Throw us a pitch.
Yeah,
get it over here.
We're showing you our cards. Yeah, we're showing you our cards. We're showing you what you want, or what we want. And now your turn.
Yeah.
We'll see what they come up with. I mean, it's kind of ironic and eerie in a way to understand that I'm only going to have another week or so of the tribunal having to have to say those words, because it's quite silly to think that. But we should be doing all this in conference committees and stuff like that. But when people can't agree, we need to get stuff done. People expect it. Minnesotans need it and expect it. So,
well, and
I'm very optimistic we'll get stuff done here in the final week.
That would be good. Myself, I have a personal vested interest in that whole Social Security tax issue, because that part of my life is getting ever nearer. So, yeah, if that passes, I won't complain. I'll just say it that way. We have just about a minute left or so, so I'd like to give you the opportunity at this point, as always, to provide your contact information should any of your constituents have questions or concerns.
Absolutely. Thank you. The best way to get a hold of me is to call at 651-297-0060, or I'll send me an email at sen, which is the abbreviation for senator, .carla, and remember that's with a K, .bigham at senate.mn.
That's very well done. I would like to thank my guest for this segment of Community In Depth, Minnesota Senator Carla Bigham. Senator Bigham, thank you for your time, and thank you for checking in.
Well, thank you for having me tonight.
You're very welcome. You are tuned to KDWA, AM 1460, FM 97.7.
I'm just a bill. Yes, I'm only a bill. And I'm sitting here on Capitol Hill.
It's not easy to become a law, is it?
No. But how I hope and pray that I will. But today...
There is a lot of good going on in the Hastings and Prescott area, and KDWA would love to help. If you have a community event, let KDWA help spread the word. Send the details by email to communityevents@kdwa.com or call 651-437-1460. KDWA, partnering with the community since 1963.